الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just a little bit of revision again. This ayat that Allah Ta'ala is addressing the believers who are the friends of Allah. So Allah is giving them some good. A friend gives good to his friend. And a true friend will always be considerate and will think of the welfare and goodness of his friend. For that Allah Ta'ala says, one great thing in your welfare, in your goodness from every aspect is that rozas have been made farz upon you. And just as they were made on the people before you, and the real object is that we acquire taqwa. We have to remind ourselves all the time that it's not just the month has come, we keep our rozas, we observe, we adapt ourselves to Ramadan. And some people feel that the beginning it's a bit difficult to adapt. You adapt yourself and then the month is over. So everything is finished now. No, it's not like that. We have to see that we acquire this taqwa. And when we have acquired the taqwa, we must carry on with it, also. And it's just like, for example, a person, he sends his son to some area of some place in the world where there are a lot of business prospects. And he tells him to go and do business there, and he does business, and he makes a lot of money. Now he feels he must come home, so he calls him home. So he gives him a very royal welcome, because he has made a lot of money, and he's coming with all that. But after everything finished now, so he asks now, finally, where is all the money? So he says, no, that I left there. So how will he feel then? They send him for that, he made a lot of money and he didn't bring it. So the same way, if we just leave everything what we acquired, we leave it in Ramadan. We don't take it out of Ramadan. And we don't take it to Akhirat. We just leave it here. Then that is going to be a big, big problem. So we have to acquire this taqwa. And if we just kept rozas, we'd made tilawat, tarawih, everything we did properly. We did very well, we'll feel happy also, observed Ramadan, but it didn't carry on, flow over, then we have lost everything, we missed the boat then. So actually we have to acquire this taqwa, and if that is our niyat, that should be our niyat. Not only that Ramadan is here, I must keep my rozas, make my tilawat, everything, but I must acquire this taqwa. And there are various levels of taqwa. Allah grant us the highest. Dua and niyat we make of the highest, then we make our effort wherever Allah Ta'ala let us reach. But we must make the niyat of the highest level of taqwa. Just as Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you ask Allah Ta'ala of Jannat, ask Jannatul Firdaus. But if we consider ourselves, where are we and where is Jannatul Firdaus? That where can we ask for that? But looking at ourselves, we can't. But looking at Allah's fazl and karam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua. So we ask of Allah Ta'ala, and wherever Allah Ta'ala let us reach, inshallah. In the same way, there is one dua also. Allahumma inni as'aluka imana la yartad. I want iman that never ever you don't become a murtad, you but remain a Muslim forever. Wa na'ima la yanfad, and ni'mats of Allah which never get finished, we just carry on. Wa murafaqata nabiyyina sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi a'la darajatil jannati jannatil khuld, and that we are the highest level of jannat, jannatil khuld forever, and with Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Now if you can see again where we. If we just think those people who will deserve that, what sacrifices they made. The Sahaba, we can't even comprehend those sacrifices. The great, great people who came later, what sacrifices they made. Haji Ahmad Nakhuda Sahab, the Ahmad Barakatum, taught us this dua many years ago. Then afterwards I told him, I learned this dua from you. So he says, now I feel shy making that dua. That way we there, but trusting in Allah's rahmat, we still have hope. Right? But if you go and see, if we look at ourselves, where can we be there? Where in the neighborhood of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We really desire it also. But can we be there? If we look at ourselves, where do we fit there? And when we just read a little bit of what other people, what sacrifices they made, and how their lives and their families they sacrificed, everything they sacrificed, those people, they can hope to, and they also shy for that to ask that. So, but anyway, looking at ourselves is out of the question, and our aman. But looking at Allah's rahmat, we have full hope. So with the taqwa also, we ask Allah of the last. And that is the taqwa of the Siddiqeen. And which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, the ask of Allah always the stage of the Siddiqeen and the highest stage of it. And that is that after which the stage of Nubuwwat starts. And that is impossible. We can't ask that. That is out of the question. And the doors of Nubuwwat are closed also. So there isn't even that you can have a hope. So it's right out of the question. Finality of the Nubuwwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is 100%. So that we can't. But the last levels of Siddiqiyat, which will till now, just deny it is on the border of Nubuwwat, that we can still ask of Allah Ta'ala. Though again, if we look at ourselves, but Allah Ta'ala, if He wants to, He can, and Allah's rahmat is, Allah is wasi'un alim. Allah wasi', there is a lot of places, not that now I can't give more, that now it's finished, my quota is finished, no, Allah is, but Allah is alim also. He sees who are those people who really want it, and they make their efforts accordingly also. And we see people, with regard to making of tawbah also, those people who will stay awake the whole night and ask for forgiveness. And we will just ask one or two times, and we feel now we have done justice. We are very weak, but Allah Ta'ala out of His fazl karam, and how much we can, at least do so much. And then we try and push it even further. So this is that month, and now we are gathered here in order to acquire this taqwa. In order to make our islah, let us not forget that. And this continuous reminder that it's not just a matter of we coming here and keeping rosas, etc., but that we acquire this taqwa. With regard to that, one important aspect which has been mentioned, it has come many times, but just to a bit more, because it is so rife in us. And that is with regard to the islah of the tongue, which we did discuss. But one particular thing is the backbiting. What our tongue, that we normally backbite with the tongue, and it's not necessarily confined to the tongue. Just by showing somebody is short or somebody is fat, that is also backbiting, if we describe somebody like that. But normally it is done with the tongue. So this is also one very, very serious area that we have to correct ourselves. Serious that we see the great ulama who wrote on the subject of backbiting. Almost all of them will write that this is a sin that is not only with the people who are like far from deen, who are not so hot in deen, they are mild in deen, but the very learned people and the very pious people are also involved in this guna. And it's a very, very serious guna, backbiting, which the Quran Sharif said is like eating the flesh of your dead brother. Who can ever imagine that? And in the time of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, things were such that the reality was there. A person backbited. For example, we read quite often, we hear of the two ladies who are on the verge of death, it looked like. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sent the bowl to them, they hadn't eaten anything. But when they vomited, fresh blood came out, pieces of meat. So in those days, actually these things used to happen. Actually like that. Like when a person backbites, he lies. The malaika who are appointed to protect us, the smell of it is so terrible that it goes a long way, and those malaika go far away from a person. So in those days, these things actually should happen. With us today, we don't see it happening, but it is a fact that when we are lying, we are backbiting, especially backbiting, we are rolling on our stomachs, we are laughing loudly, and we're talking about this, but we don't know. Our malaika, who are appointed for our protection, they also can't take it. Mm-hmm. One time, we were in the Kruger Park, and there was a kill. The lions must have killed a giraffe or something. That all we didn't see, but the remains, the carcass was there, and they ate the meat, and now only the leftovers. So the vultures and these birds were eating. When we stopped there to see, when we turned down the window, then the smell of it was so terrible, we couldn't be there for another moment. But for those birds, it was like the smell of biryani. They were enjoying it. Like that, when we are backbiting or slandering somebody, the way we enjoy this. But the malaika, they just can't take it. When we are committing a guna, any guna, and we enjoy, na'uzubillah, Allah forgive us, for save us. But Allah at that time is so angry on that person. If your real boss is angry on you, you're doing something, and you are laughing. Your father is angry with you, and you are laughing at that time. So this is our condition, that we are not aware of all these things. So this backbiting also, when a person backbites, he enjoys it, all this what he's talking. And it is so common, as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, that commonly we justify it. We say that it is haram to backbite, but, or that I'm not backbiting, but, and we go right into backbiting. That but doesn't take us out of the backbiting, it puts us right into backbiting. And this is, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that Allah loves his banda so much, that a banda has done wrong. It is there, it's done. But now Allah doesn't want anyone to talk about it. He say, I will sort him out. What he has done, I will. But you people talking about him, I can't tolerate that. So Allah made backbiting haram. Don't talk bad about your fellow brother. It's just like Hazrat says, a father, one son has done something wrong, one child. And now he tells the children, you dare speak anything bad about him. My matter is with him, I will sort him out. But you people don't speak bad about him. So Allah made backbiting haram. In the same way we see that in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a drought. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told them to make tawbah, istighfar, everything. Then Allah informed him there is one person who is a sinner. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, let me know who it is so I can reprimand. Allah said, when I don't want him to be known to anyone, how can I tell you about him? So Allah Ta'ala protects us so much. So this backbiting, if we go and see also, it's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah wants the izzat of his bandas to be protected. And what Allah wanted to be protected, and we go and destroy it. So how angry won't Allah come or become on us? Consequently, we read in Fazail Amal, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that there are 70 degrees of the evil of interest. 70 degrees of the evil of interest. The lowest of which is like committing incest, having sex, adultery with one's own mother. So how is that the lowest level of interest? Of all the levels, this is the lowest. And taking one dirham of interest is like committing fornicating 35 times. So how terrible isn't it? And the lowest level of interest is slandering your Muslim brother. So this is how terrible it is. Worse than interest, worse than adultery. But it is a thing which even good people, the ulama, right? Everyone is involved in it, and we don't realize where we have gone, and suddenly we are gone into this. And this is one of the reasons that most of the elders, they don't want this lot of talking. which has been forbidden. Because you start talking inadvertently, you go into backbiting. So the best is to stay away from it. Once you're on the border, you're going to cross the border anytime. You will just go on the other side. And then you are in big, big trouble. Also, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained how terrible it is. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, and if that fault what we are talking about is actually in the brother, it is really there. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, that is backbiting. When the fault is actually there, and if the fault is not there, then it is slandering. False accusation, which is even worse than that a person has, and this also, it comes also in the Hadith Sharif, that when a person speaks, everything he hears, somebody told this happened, and this is so common with us, that you don't verify whether that happened. Sometimes even the news or that somebody has passed away. The minute we get that news, then and nowadays with the cell phone, it's gone where and where. And sometimes it happens, no, it was not like that. It was somebody else with the same name. Or many times it happens, sometimes it happens like that. And we don't verify. Any news we get, at the moment we get the news, we take it, we don't verify at all. And now if you don't verify and you don't do anything, well, that's okay. But now when you go and say it to somebody else, that is enough to have a person written by Allah as a liar. And to be a liar by Allah Ta'ala, if we read the hadith of Mi'raj, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw all the punishments of the various people for this lying, how terrible the punishment is. So this is one thing where we have to learn to control the tongue. Generally we have to control the tongue, and of these big sins, false accusations, slandering and backbiting, which is really very, very common with us. And now with the cell phone, even more. And another thing about this backbiting, the backbiting is also haram. Listening to it also is haram. You are fully 100% an accomplice to it when you listen. And for that is, wherever backbiting is taking place, a person should stand up and should stop the person. If you can't stop the person, then at least stand up and go away. But we find ourselves too weak to do that also. If there is a gathering, four or five people, somebody starts backbiting, then we don't have the courage to get up. We should have that. And we have seen those men of Allah, when the backbiting started, once we were with Haji Ahmad Nahuda Sahib, the Ahmad Barakatum, in India, in one place, and somebody started speaking wrong things about some people and that. So Haji Sahib stopped him and told him it's not like that. And we don't know these facts, whether it's facts or what, and even if it is, we can't do anything about it. So then they still didn't stop. Myself and one friend of ours were there. Haji Sahib stood up and made us also stand up. And he said, come, let's go away. He was only one more person. He left him one person alone. It's not a matter of, we say we hurt the feelings of people. When somebody is breaking Allah's laws like that and dragging us also into that hole, that sewage hole, and then we worried of hurting his feelings. If somebody wants to pull us into a sewage hole, and we say, no, I had to go because now I'll hurt, he'll feel upset about it. How can that be? So this is very, very important aspect, that at least that amount of iman that we stay away. Also on that, whenever we are sitting and talking, a lot of times today, it happens that we're talking of anything, whether it's the weather, also no guna, perhaps politics or something, then no zikr of Allah. And it comes also in the hadith that any gathering in which there wasn't the zikr of Allah, then it will be a source of sorrow on the day of Qiyamah. So we should try turn that whole talk into a talk of deen. Islahi talk, beneficial talk, ilmi talk, benefit of deen, etc. And if we can't do that, then at least we read one durood sharif. May read zikr, may read qul huwallahu ahad, some zikr of Allah Ta'ala we should try and make there. So this is also an important thing. But this meeting and talking and gathering, somebody wrote very well that what shall it never join the PPC. Gee, what is the PPC? the Brisbane Panchayat Club. That what we find for commonly out of Ramadan also, in Ramadan also. There may be a program, many places they have kitab reading, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but people won't sit, it's so late and I must still sit for kitab reading. But we go outside and on the pavement, on the footpath, then there people are always standing. And the one thing only to qualify to join there is you need agarbatti, you need your cigarette. And then they start talking, they'll talk half an hour there, 1 hour. It might be cold also. If you sat for the talim in the masjid, it's warm, yes. But there it's cold also. Perhaps a little drizzling also, but that will carry on. And there, inevitably, they will go into backbiting. Also, we find some places, the people, we don't see time. Hopefully, it's not happening. But old people, one was that time, I remember, that they would be like about 10 o'clock in the masjid. And then make their wuzu, make their chash namaz, then they will read Quran Sharif, read the tarjuma, the translation in Gujarati, and they would read it loudly. But they would carry on, they would keep themselves busy till Zohar time. Then came a time when these old people sat on the benches by the masjids. And there they have their own discussions, and what discussions. Then came a time when they would sit in cars somewhere, and they would, a group of theirs, and anyone passes, they open his file. And now his whole history of his father and grandfather, whole family's history, they take it out. Especially now in the old age when we have to make more Allah's ibadat, make more tawbah of our gunas and all these kind of things. So these are all those things and lot of those places where we gather and we all this happens. In our social gatherings, in the Qabristan, if we are not careful, we get dragged in all these things very easily. You come to masjid and you get dragged into this year also. So we have to be very careful with regard to the tongue and all the harms of the tongue. And on the other side, the tongue is there that it could take you to great, great heights. You speak good things, you read Quran Sharif, you give advices, where the tongue can take you very, 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 very high. One subhanallah, it fills the place from the earth to the heavens. One alhamdulillah fills the scale of the pan of the scales, it fills it up. Just one subhanallah, subhanallah, one la ilaha illallah. But unfortunately shaitan brings us and he puts us into all these things. And today we don't feel nice till we're not in part of that. If we are sitting one side with a tasbih, reading subhanallah, it looks like this person is like out of this world. He doesn't know what is happening whatsoever. Whereas that by Allah, what is the value? The malaika, where Allah's zikr is being made, that piece of ground goes to the 7 grounds below it, that on me Allah's zikr is being made. And that piece of ground shines to the people of the malaika, how the stars shine to us. How much? So the zikr of Allah, all these good thoughts, that is what we must have. We shouldn't be worried that people's feelings and people in wrong things and they are harming you and you're still worried of their feelings. Somebody wants to destroy you, but you say, no, I mustn't hurt his feelings. He wants to cause you harm and I mustn't hurt his feelings. We want to please everyone, we want to please shaitan also. So this ghibat, backbiting is an area that we have to be very, very careful. And it creeps in everywhere. We start giving sabak and there also ghibat starts. In a very, very subtle way, there also. A person giving a bayan also, there also ghibat starts. In the bayan also. So it's a thing that we have to be very careful. And we read in the sawanih of our elders also, where many of them it's written that there was never ever ghibat in their majlis. They would never ever allow one bit of ghibat. And it comes in the form of asking a question also. And many are such people also, they know how to just light the fire. They just ask one question about a certain thing, about some controversial matter. They don't want it. They know who is now the main role players in that controversy. So just start the controversy, and then they keep quiet, and they just now enjoy listening. Somebody is giving this opinion, and on the cell phone it's happening all the time. You put out one thing on the group, and what coming? How much we are falling without hearing also, without moving the tongue, just with our eyes. On the cell phone, we are falling into so much of ghibat. Once I asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, that like listening to news, now you listen about the politicians, in most cases in our environment is non-Muslims, so he did this politician did that, does this also come in ghibat? So Mufti Sahib said, what need have you got for all that? You must engage yourself in other things. Rabia Basariya Rahmatullah Ali was asked to make the ghibat of shaitan, talk bad of shaitan. How is that? She said, in that time, if you read three times Subhanallah, you'll be rewarded much more greatly. And in ghibat of anyone, it's not only three times you can read Subhanallah, perhaps 300 times. And one Subhanallah, one Alhamdulillah, one Astaghfirullah. What great rewards. But we want to pollute our tongues. And with the same tongue then again, we are reading Quran Sharif also. With the same tongue again, we are talking other good things also. And we have polluted it just now so terribly. And this is a very, very rife and common thing. Also one of those things where the same ghaflat, we are not aware that I'm involved in ghibat. And where it happens also in Ramzan, where the groups get together. Or if perhaps on weekends. And today all these parties also that we have, Sehri party and Iftari party, the more it is all these things. The talking is more than the eating. And we get involved automatically into all these things. And then, worst of all perhaps, or part of being so worst, is on the day of Eid, when we all families get together again normally. And then you have a review of the Ramadan. How was your Ramadan? How was your Ramadan? And there all these things come again. And then many of them, that they will ask also, we will ask, we will talk about that how we had spent, and somebody will have a negative comment about it, or some other place how they went. People went for Umrah. Many people then criticize them for going for Umrah. Somebody go in Jamaat, criticize them for going in Jamaat. Others criticize others again that they went Khanka. Everything. These are common subjects. And we don't know where, whatever, if we had earned anything in Ramadan, that is also all washed away. And Shaitan just stands and laughs at us. That I got these people exactly where I want them. They are fully in my clutches. They got nowhere. A person, Shaitan, doesn't let you do something. When you want to do it, you are adamant, then he spoils your intention. You do it with a good niyat, then he spoils it afterwards. He spoils the amal. You did the amal also properly, then Shaitan comes afterwards and he spoils it again with something that you refer to. One person who had made three hajj in those days when it was so difficult to make hajj, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, when a visitor came, he told his khadim or his son, whoever, give this person the zamzam water of my third hajj. So in this one sentence, he exposed and made it known, I'm a triple haji. Not only a single double, triple haji I am. But in one little sentence, he destroyed the sawab of all three hajj. So this is how terrible. So this ghibat is also a thing that we have to be very, very careful. And it comes in, like for example, we are sitting by an alim, by a buzurg. And we are sitting, and now it's like this, for example, question, answer. Our one question also is to make ghibat. That we want something to start off there about somebody. that some ruling must be given against somebody. Many people ask for fatwas also. And what is the object of getting that, which is a noble thing? When you, if you don't know, then ask for salu ahl dhikr in kuntum la ta'alamun. Very good, all that. But the object is, in your masjid, there is somebody you've got a score to settle with. Now when you get that fatwa, you pin it on the board. Which is also now, mashallah, all deeny things. But inside, behind it all, is to take out his fault. To make known his fault. So you're having it pinned on the board, etc. And lot of the things, articles are written, and where are we getting, how much we getting involved in riba. And many times, we did not verify the facts also. The facts are also, they are not even merged, they are not truths, there is nothing in there. And we go one way attacking, and what Quran and Hadith we are attacking. So this is also one area that we have to be very careful. And like if you're listening to ghibat, that is also haram. In the same way, now with the cell phone. And the muftis will tell us what it is, but you got a message, it's some ghibat about someone. Now you read it. Hearing also, you just heard it. Now what do you do? Yeah, just delete it immediately or what? And also, whatever the first thing about somebody is told, just a lie about somebody, and it comes on there, that registers with a person. To remove that is almost impossible. Now if you go and find out, no, there was nothing like that. This thing never happened there. This person was not there at all. Lot of things like that. And today also with the cell phone, for example, some friends told us that in Pakistan, the people were, the Pakistan and India playing cricket, Pakistan won, so they were celebrating it, showing the happiness youngsters. They took that message and they put it fully in the context of India, that this happened in India. And now they made a political issue out of it. That the Muslim youth in India, they are not, they don't patronize their own country, their team. They are patronizing and they are supporting Pakistan. And that becomes a big political issue there. Whereas, and now, how the trouble is caused by this. And there is no truth in it. In the same way, some girl married a Hindu boy or Muslim or something like that. And a clip came on the phone and they showed how they were beating that girl, stoning her to death. Whereas actually that girl was a drug dealer in South America. And this happened there. But they took that and they put it in this context here, which is total lies also. And it causes so much of political upheaval, social, the people start fighting, hating one another, and there is absolutely no truth in it. And with all this happening, but nobody will pull back little. We know it is. We know you got a Photoshop. You can take this photo, put it on that body, do this, and it's happening. But we just all, or we still just involved in it. And the saddest in Ramadan, if we are busy with all this. And if we are in the masjid, and if we are sitting in i'tikaf, and we also now, all these messages which are coming, we also reading them. And another area here, which is while we are there, which is unfortunately also very common, is that somebody sends you a joke. And a joke about deen. And the smallest matter of deen to make a joke about it is very, very, very serious. And now you smile about it, you also enjoying it. What is the state of our iman? I got roza also, I mean i'tikaf also, and here is my iman left. So dangerous these things. And many times the jokes that we make also, we don't understand the implications and what it is. And many times we are making jokes and we are harming ourselves, our deen. We are making a joke about something about our deen, we are making a joke. Whether it is about the beard, a person makes a joke. Whether it is about the niqab, you make a joke. Any small thing of deen to make a joke about, is also so serious, but unfortunately that is also, and we don't think about it. And sometimes one friend of us told us, he made a bayan, and in the bayan he made a joke. And Allah forgive us also, how many of those jokes, especially we should now refrain totally, those jokes that we make like about the Pathan. These are those people who have got lot of deeni hamiyat, feeling for deen. And the enemy made jokes about various aspects about them. So that automatically these people who are for deen, and they give their lives for deen, and they love deen, and they can't see anything against deen, and the true mujahideen will be from them. So now what the enemy did, painted them that these are stupid people. And all jokes you make of stupidity, refer it to these people. So when they will stand up for deen, these are stupid people. They don't know what's happening in the world. They are out of this world. So we are actually promoting. Perhaps in our bayans also, we are quoting this, some story about Khansab did this, Khansab, that we should totally withdraw from this, totally. Especially when we come to know, and this also we can see how much alive the enemy of Islam is, and how they working in us in such a way, while we are fast asleep, and we are falling headlong prey for all their evil and what they are getting us to say. And so Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, Allah make fazl upon us. There is also to ask of Allah Ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. Many times there is one dark, evil hijab of shaitan. He takes you to make guna, but even then he makes you make that guna like in such a way that you enjoy it. Whatever guna, music, woman, whatever it is, the person is like enjoying it. But the other guna in the name of deen, outwardly, like bid'at, for example, a person is in terrible, he's in shirk, he's in other terrible guna, like the Christians who believe Isa alayhi salam, na'uzu billah, son of God, part of God, and they will die for it. It's their religion, they will die. But it's all a nurani, I'm very pious, and in that you are so impious. And you are thinking, amilatun nasiba, that those people who made lot of effort, sweating and rubbing, taking the sweat and throwing, but tasla naran hamiya, they will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. There are so many things. So the tongue is a thing, and with today the cell phone is not the tongue only, it's the fingers also that are being used, the eyes that are being used, and we are reading. Today we are involved. The cell phone and all this can be used for so much good, but if you use it for destruction, so much of destruction also. Allah Ta'ala make us understand, we are all desperately, the speaker, listener, we are all desperately in need of all this. And we need the fizzle of Allah, and it is to ask Allah that He protects us. La hawla amma'asiyyatillah illa bi'ismatillah. Nobody can save himself from guna but by the protection of Allah Ta'ala. Allah protect us from all this. And to save ourselves from guna is more important than committing good. But to stay away from guna, that is the more important thing. In the a'badan nas, the person who makes the most ibadat is the one who stays away from guna. Allah give us tawfiq. And this is a guna that comes with us in the masjid, in i'tikaf, sitting in front of the Kaaba Sharif and Hijibat, sitting right by the Rozai Mubarak and Hijib, in Jamaat, making wuzu, 2 rakat Salatul Hajj, 2 rakat Salatul Chash, sitting for Mashura now. And in the Mashura, which you don't realize, and instead of just the tafakkur you had to do, you were in the border, you are gone out of the border. And there you are now making ghibat there while you are sitting there. It happens everywhere. May Allah Ta'ala save us and guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah.